Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Jonah Carey is of CBS Sports, sportsnet.ca, the Jonah Carey podcast. He is on Twitter at Jonah Carey, and he is with us on the Bernstein and McKnight show.
Hi, Jonah.
Also the host. Hey, how's it going? I'm also the host of the cleverly named Jonah Carey podcast, and I just got off the phone literally 10 seconds ago with Hall of Famer Trevor Hoffman, so that'll be coming out next week. Really, really good stuff. He's a fascinating guy.
So how is legal weed in Canada?
Well, and producer Jay had brought this up too. I moved from Colorado to Canada, so I think that somebody in the universe is trying to tell me something. Like, this guy needs something to take the edge off, I guess, because legalization seems to follow me wherever I live. So the answer to your question is that there was a little bit of a gold rush, and the cool thing was that a lot of people were trying it for the first time. And, you know, the story's going around where I'm 65 and I believe in the law and I wouldn't try it, but it's legal. And so I lined up and I tried it and I liked it. So, you know, it's one of those things that it's going to do really good business. It's going to raise revenue, which is always nice because it could pay for roads and schools. If there's no harm done, it's not any more, you know, dangerous than alcohol or anything like that. And people are like, oh, this is cool. I waited my whole life. I said, this is actually pretty decent. So it's pretty chill vibe, guys.
Yeah, my biggest problem, I just get my downstairs neighbors to open the windows when they do. I mean, it just flows upstairs and just the stench is something horrible. I'm wondering if the Brewers need something to take the edge off while they have, you know, apparently got issues with the Dodgers potentially cheating. There is a lot of this going on. This CS schedule has been kind of replete with cheating rumors.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, with the Astro stuff, the video and all that. The problem is that there's gray area, right? It's not really codified what can and can't because the rules were decided when Wee Willie Keeler was playing baseball. And I don't think Wee Willie Keeler had an iPad. I'm pretty sure he didn't. And so as a result, things change and you have to adapt. And Major League Baseball, as much as Rob Manfred, I think, is, you know, relatively progressive, certainly compared to his predecessor, just can't necessarily keep up with all this stuff. So there is going to be a little bit of that there. I think some of it is gamesmanship, too, is, you know, complaining or trying to get an edge or what have you. But for the most part, none of this stuff bothers me. I thought that the Mookie Betts violated home run call, that had a significant impact on that game. Maybe that series, who knows how things would have gone. But other than that, I mean, you know, guys, teams doing this and that or whatever, that doesn't seem to be a big deal, at least not from my point of view.
Yeah, and don't we think also that with technology that you just got to go about your business assuming that maybe somebody's going to get a sign here and there and saying, oh, once our precious signs have been compromised, therefore we lose? I mean, I would like to think that before the fact, that, all right, so what? You know what's coming? You still got to hit it. You still got to make the play.
I think that's true. And by the way, if we're talking about third base coach signs, I understand you're talking about pitch signs, but that doesn't matter at all because nobody hits and runs or bunts anymore at all. So we can dispense of that completely. Those are gone. But yeah, you know, I think you make the point about pitchers. That's certainly the case. And we routinely see teams, especially with a runner on base, we already know this, that they'll put down three or they'll wiggle their fingers a bunch of times. So, yeah, just run through your signals a little bit more. It's, you know, pitchers are smart, and if you're Wade Miley or whoever, you can, oh, okay, he's signaling curveball, but it's actually changeup, whatever. That's fine. I don't. This is all harmless stuff to me, and it doesn't bother me. The only thing that bothers me in baseball is guys throwing at guys. Don't throw at anybody because Carl Mays happened. And other than that, you know, let the chips fall where they may. Everything is legal. Everything is okay. Much like Canada, I guess.
So despite Dallas Keuchel's promise before the season started, the Astros are out. Do they? Do you have an elegy for the Houston Astros?
I think they'll be back. You know, I'm. It's an interesting time as a writer because I get to kind of what I'm going to do a World Series preview and I'll continue to cover the series. But I can kind of write a step back column at some point in the next couple of days. I'm probably going to write about how the Astros should probably be favored to win the World Series next year too, or at least be right up there because all of their best players are not free agents. They're all going to be, you know, under salary. And yes, Verlander is older, but everybody else is in the 20s, right? Correa and Springer and, man, Alex Bregman broke out this year. What a fantastic player he is. Gerrit Cole's in the 20s. So you just have a lot of horses who should be right in their prime. And I think it sets up well for a while. You know, it's funny, though. You know, we say this, and then when the Cubs won the World Series in 2016, we certainly had to have thought that about the Cubs because, gee, Rizzo, Bryant, Schwarber, Baez, this is, you know, pitchers were a little older, but this is a very young core of hitters, and the Cubs have been very good the last couple of years. But, of course, they haven't gotten back to the top of the mountain. Only one team can win the World Series by definition every year. So when I say the Astros should be in good position, or if you said the Cubs would be in good position in 2017, you're not necessarily wrong if that team gets to the DS or the CS and loses. It just means that they've been beaten by yet another team that's young and well-armed and what have you. But I do like the Astros. I think they're going to be around for a long time because they're not only good, they are young.
What does it say about the Red Sox that this may be one of those years where the best team in baseball also is the team that wins the World Series?
Yeah, well, I mean, that has happened occasionally here in recent years. I believe the Cubs had the best regular season record, if I'm remembering correctly, in 2016. Mm-hmm. So there is something. But isn't it funny how many people, if you just took a poll of people that you know, people at the station or people on the street or whatever it is, and said, who do you think is going to win the series, Red Sox or Astros? It really did feel like the Red Sox were the underdogs, if I'm not mistaken. The Red Sox had home field. They'd won 108 freaking games, and yet, you know, I just got off the phone with Hoffman. Hoffman, after watching game one, Verlander dominated, he said he thought the Astros would sweep. I had the Astros in six. Most of the intelligentsia seemed to have it that way. They were the best team, and we're seeing it now. You know that, oh, yeah, David Price can't come through in the postseason, this, that, or the other narrative. They're really damn good. You know, they've got a lot of different weapons. A very young team, too. Talk about those killer bees. You know, Betts and Benintendi and Bogarts and Bradley, they're all in their 20s as well, right? Coming peaking or just about to peak, what have you. So, yeah, you know, it sets up very well for them. And whether they play the Dodgers or the Brewers, I think you have to install them as favorites, don't you? I think that on paper, they're probably a little bit better than either of the National League teams.
As much as intellectually I'm on board with the advent of bullpenning, and if it's not bullpenning as, you know, Brian Kenny would have you implement it, it's definitely a heightened need for bullpen arms. I have to admit that emotionally I get all kind of warm and fuzzy watching David Price do what he did and watching Clayton Kershaw do what he did. Do you think that's just because of the narratives built up around those two guys in the postseason?
I mean, I can't speak to your personal warm and
fuzzy. Oh, I'd like you to.
Well, okay, let's do that then. You and I think exactly the same, and I really like Clayton Kershaw a lot, and I feel that way too. I spent a bit of time with him, you know, as well, just chatting with him. I like him a lot. I'm rooting for him. He and his wife go to Africa in the offseason to literally build orphanages. That's true. That's literally what he does. He's a good egg. I want Clayton Kershaw to succeed. I don't want people to dump on Clayton Kershaw and say that the best pitcher of the generation is a choker. That's some trash. I hate it. So, yeah, and, you know, David Price, cool, that's good, too. David Price is doing poorly. I like that as well. But I think that your point is interesting if we take it out to the broader concepts. And, again, something I just talked about with Hoffman. How do you reconcile what just happened where Craig Counsell took Wade Miley out after five pitches? What do you do with that? Personally, I freaking love it. I think it's awesome. You might be undermanned in the rotation. Cool. We're going to burn the other team's bench. And it didn't necessarily work for the Brewers in that they didn't win the game. But what happened was toward the end of the game, you had a situation where the Brewers had bodies at the bench and the Dodgers didn't. So you turned everybody around. You annihilated the depth of the other team, a very platoon-heavy team. And by the way, your Woodruffs and Guerras and your right-handers out of the bullpen are probably not any worse talent-wise than Wade Miley is. So I think this team is uniquely positioned to do this hardcore. Now, having said that, I use the word unique. Would the Tampa Bay Rays have gone all the way with bullpenning? Maybe Blake Snell gets the Kershaw role and he can go deep, but everybody else is going to be Ryan Yarbrough to death? Possible. You know, maybe we have reached the crucible and the inflection point, and we're going to see teams do this unless they've got horses after horses. And, oh, by the way, the Astros had more horses than anybody with Verlander and Cole and everybody else. See you later, Astros are out in five. I'm not saying that the Red Sox went the Rays' direction or the Brewers' direction, but I think we need to recalibrate how we think about the postseason. We can't just handicap series and say, oh, they got Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling on top of the rotation, or Pedro Martinez and Curt Schilling on top of the rotation. They're going to win. I don't think it works that way anymore. I think that how teams use their pitchers and the depth of pitching, not I have one hammer or two hammers, might matter just as much as, you know, having those top of the rotation guys.
Like to get your perspective from a distance here regarding what we were right in the middle of this week in the story about Joe Maddon, Theo Epstein declining to offer an extension to this point, saying he is our manager, he's in the final year of a contract, And we talked to Alan Nero, Joe Madden's agent, who seemed to believe that a lot of this reporting, Ken Rosenthal and others putting aspects of this together, some areas where the Cubs may have been less than satisfied with some strategic decisions, with some of what he said in the wake of the Addison Russell story and his suspension. Yep. And the agent was unhappy. Like, these, the media is out here just sort of doing this out of nowhere, even though it's perfectly informed speculation of a guy like Madden in this market with his track record not extended, becoming a lame duck. So he said that we're going to work on this extension. He's optimistic a deal is going to get done. Cubs complete radio silence. Do you find it strange? Do you find it newsworthy that Joe Madden is coming back for the last year of a deal?
Newsworthy is an interesting word, but I think that it is a good idea if the Cubs brass truly has reticence to not give him the extension, because this is your opportunity. Joe Madden is still the manager of the Chicago Cubs in good standing, as far as we know, or in relatively good standing. If I'm Theo or Jed or whoever, I go, let's go to Ruth's Chris, let's sit down for a couple hours or wherever, whichever steakhouse sponsors the show. And there you go. And chat about it. And hey, these are my concerns, rather than it being filtered through the media or whatever. Now, I'm not saying that Theo and Jed have not done that with Madden already. Maybe they have. But if they're still not satisfied, what do you do if you're an employer? What do you do if you work for Amazon or whatever? You sit down with your person who you employ and you say, you're really smart. You're good at this. You're good at this. You know, you could do better in your TPS reports. And that's it. And so I think that this is now, the onus is not on Madden. The onus is on management to make exactly clear, this is what we want. And maybe we were a little ambiguous about it before, but hey, that Russell, I'm giving you an example because you mentioned it. The Russell thing wasn't handled correctly. We don't like the way you platoon Kyle Schwarber, but whatever it is. And if Joe Madden says, you can pound sand, I'm doing what I want, homeboy, count the rings, okay, then you can send him on his merry way at the end of the season and go hire somebody else. But I think that if there is some dissatisfaction, rather than it being played out in the media, what you do as an effective manager of a company or an organization is you have steak or quinoa or whatever you want, and you talk to the person and say, these are my concerns, please address them.
You don't go out for quinoa, not for something like this.
I don't know. Oh, there's vegetarians listening to this show, probably.
Jonah, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, fellas.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.